Hey there, Ben Kissel here for Last Podcast Network. I want to tell you about my show, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. For more than 9 years, Marcus and I have strived to present you with the most accurate and honest political podcast out there. In these turbulent times, it's our intention to unite the country with impassioned debate that reaches out to the rational Americans who find their voices more muffled every day. Every week, I use my political science background, my experience running for office, along with my lifelong passion to stand up for the downtrodden, the wrongfully accused, and the invisible man and woman to bring you news like you haven't heard before. Let's face it, traditional news has failed us. We promise to always tell you the truth the best we see it, and I personally guarantee to not be swayed by hyper-partisanship, but be guided by facts. To listen, search Abe Lincoln's Top Hat on any podcast platform or go to lastpodcastnetwork.com and find it under shows. Hail yourselves, everyone!
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Man, oh man. In Florida, the people just keep getting more lizardy.
What do you mean?
We're in a part of Florida right now that is like specifically very lizardy, like in terms of the people.
They're leathery.
Leathery.
Yeah.
Crackly skin.
Yeah, cowboys, cowgirls.
It's mostly the feet I'm concerned about.
Really?
I know I bring up feet a lot. People have told me that quite a bit, that I say the word feet quite a bit. But there's something about the sun-blasted toenails of a street man out here, or the regular sort of red-faced Florida man who's got the Guy Fieri, the tan lines.
Well, Guy Fieri, of course, and he has those tan lines in the back of his head because that's where he wears his sunglasses. This is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. That's Henry Zabrowski. He's in beautiful, sunny Florida.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Where I belong. I always remember that when I come here. I'm like, I belong here.
This is where
I'm meant to be, especially in the humidity.
Of course. And of course, Travis Morningstar, our producer, is also here with us.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. All right.
Okay.
So
okay.
We got a bunch. Okay.
Okay.
We got a bunch of fun stories to get to today. I got to say, number one, I'm not getting paid for this, but my gal and I, you know what we did, Henry?
What?
We got Shudder. And Shudder is the single greatest thing during the Halloween season. The horror films have been fantastic. I watched this one. Have you seen Tourist Trap before?
We were talking about this. You actually told me, you sent me a text, solid 2 o'clock in the morning text.
But honestly,
it's a good one, but it was the
Tourist Trap must see.
Must
see.
I was like, okay. And I was
classic.
Like, I was okay. Because then I watch it because it's been so long. Because in our household, we don't watch a lot of slashers just because there's been so many of them. Like we are a ghost home. In terms of horror films, what we really enjoy, we are a found footage fan group, which is also something that's unique to us because a lot of people get found footage, a lot of grief.
When you do procreate and have your own little pierogi, what are you going to kick him out of the house if you find like Friday the 13th in his closet? If he starts watching slasher films, you'd be like, this is a ghost house. Get out of here. I'm assuming you're going to name him Jack after Jackie or something like that.
No, if we have a son, his name will be Jefferson or Henry Thomas Zabrowski III.
Oh.
So he has to live up to the power of his father. It's always important to start a child at a deficit.
Right.
I've always said this, and I think that because then they can work themselves up, pull themselves up by the bootstraps in order to make something special of themselves.
I see.
They are allowed to watch whatever they want, I guess. It is a free world. There's no such thing as ownership. The dispossessor showed me this. That in a proper world. And what you should do, technically, when I find him with a slasher film, is like, I'll explain to him. He's just going to have to put up with my lecture series.
Really?
Like, the slasher film, while it is important, is mostly about the psychosexual tension of the 70s and the idea of punishing children for exploring their sexuality. And the more and more you hit that, again and again, the more he'll be curdled by it. And then be like, but wouldn't you rather be spooked by some ghosts?
I don't know about all that. Well, either way, it's going to be an interesting parenting style that you have. And I can't wait for your parenting book, the one that is officially banned by all people who actually care for children.
It's called 6 Feet Under, start your child at the bottom of a ditch and get them up to the top of a tower. And I mean, you know, but what he does is like it shows like them it. First, just their eyeballs above a ditch, and then it shows them above with a golden rifle in a watchtower.
Uh-oh, well, we don't want to go back to Texas here. That's all right. I also watched Beyond the Black Rainbow, which is directed by the dude who directed Mandy. It's his first film, and that is a lot. There's a lot. There's a little going on, but it's also a lot going on.
It's a lot of imagery, and I would put it's style over substance. It's a little difficult to follow. The acting is great, though.
Yes.
It's a very interesting film. You know what I would say is that if you like Beyond the Black Rainbow, or if you like the cut of Beyond the Black Rainbow's jib, a good film, a good person to really dive into is Jodorowsky. Have you ever seen Holy Mountain, Kissel?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
With Jaguar tits shooting milk?
The difference was Holy Mountain, it was action-packed. I'm going to say it was a straight-up Nicolas Cage, drive-angry action-adventure compared to Beyond the Black Rainbow. And I'm not even dismissing the man. He's a great director. But it did give me a little bit of the I'm watching a college thesis movie. Like,
yes.
It was like he learned all of this stuff. He's very talented, but he didn't have to, like, do it. Like,
do it all.
Yeah, I got it. I get it, you know.
You know what you should watch, too? El Topo. El Topo's got a lot of action.
Okay.
A lot of action. It's a good, solid Western. But see, Jodorowsky, again, what you're saying, I think you said it's a very astute observation, Kissel.
Thank you.
And that it's true, is that Jodorowsky, you're watching a surrealist master to, one thing about a surrealist film is it has to have the big gungungis.
Uh-oh.
And it's got to have the big, it's got to get big, have hefty balls. It has to have substance.
Right.
It has to be telling a story. And that's the one thing Behold the Black Rainbow doesn't necessarily have, but it's fun to be just fucking whacked out.
All right. So it has to have gagungis. Good to know indeed. All right. Let's do our first story here, Henry. So we talked about this. Now, this actually, I don't know, the Lord giveth this week. There's been some funny stories.
We are blessed this week. Hashtag blessed, because I don't even know if necessarily this is even for us, but
no.
The story is incredible.
All right, so Henry has a lot of quotes in this story coming up, but what happened was Shaggy Two Dope, of course, from the Insane Clown Posse, he attempted an assault on Fred Durst, of course, from Limp Bizkit, while Fred Durst was on stage. If you get a chance, it's on ROXXXTV.com. They have a little video of it there, and it's probably on YouTube and everywhere else, but it is one of the funniest attempted assaults in history. So basically, Shaggy Two Dope was at a Limp Bizkit performance in New Jersey, which I think is the only state that allows Limp Bizkit to still perform. And what he was doing there on stage...
He's a director now. We forget that Fred Durst is directing films now. He is passing Limp Bizkit.
And I am not even going to sit here and malign Limp Bizkit. Everyone, they did this thing where it's like, oh, they became uncool and they're laughing at. I rocked out to Limp Bizkit. I'm going to say, full disclosure, I like that Break Stuff song because I wanted to break stuff. I was 16 years old. And, you know, who doesn't want to break stuff? So I'm not going to malign Limp Bizkit. They served a purpose. And I liked, you know who I did like? Wes. Remember Wes, the bassist or guitarist?
Yes, with the black eyes.
Yes, the women loved him.
They did love him because he's another one of those. All of those guys, him, was it from Marilyn Manson? Twiggy?
Oh, Twiggy.
Twiggy Ramirez?
Yes, I believe it was Twiggy, taken from the Manson family, of course.
Absolutely. What I'm saying is that, I mean, like, there's a lot of girls out there that are, for some reason, very intrigued by a man that could probably suck his own dick. It's also it's that lanky man syndrome where, you know, he's got a big penis because he's got long arms.
You know, it's interesting. Growing up as large people as Henry and I were, all the women, they liked the Kurt Cobain. They liked the Kurt Cobain.
They liked sick men.
They liked sick men. Jesse Camp from MTV. And I was like, I'll never even speak to a lady. Of course, I spoke to a lot of ladies, had a lot of girlfriends. Friends that were girls. Clarify.
Whoa. This is great.
Anyway, nonetheless.
I remember there was an old MTV interview with Wes from Limp Bizkit, and he's in his full white face paint.
He had to be.
And his eyes had the black contacts.
Yeah.
And the interviewer goes, "Why did you make your face up like this?" And then Wes looks into the camera and says, "My parents took away my Legos."
Whoa!
And I remember that being, like, so fucking cool to me that, like...
Like, oh,
dope. Yeah, he's like, oh shit, dude.
Because his look was I'm beyond the black rainbow.
Right, he was. Yes. Of course.
Yes, which you don't want to be.
It's not good.
No, definitely not. Kind of having a Jeff Hardy-like face paint with the eye contacts. Now, Jeff Hardy, WWE, pulling that look off pretty well. All right, so anyway.
So, yeah. Set up the scene, right?
Set up the scene.
Is in mid-screen. He said that he had just finished singing his George Michael cover Faith.
Yes. Okay. So now you know this crowd is going crazy. Some people crying. The shirts are up like they used to be in the 90s. Everyone's screaming. So now no one really knows why Shaggy 2 Dope was at the concert, let alone on the stage.
So he approaches. It just comes from the video, right? Is that Fred Durst is just fitting a scream. All of a sudden, Shaggy 2 Dope emerges from the shadows.
Right.
And he does what I could only consider not a drop kick.
It's a
flop. It's a flop kick.
Okay, I'll give you a flop kick. It is an attempted drop kick from Shaggy 2 Dope, which is a flop kick. I don't know what kind of drugs he was on or how
stop
hammered he was.
Stop your car. If you're driving your car
you
right
have to
now,
stop.
Pull over your car and look up the video. Because instead of the full 90-degree drop kick angle that he should have been at, he hit probably a solid 33-degree angle until he was clotheslined by a security.
Right, so basically, he runs on stage, and then this security guard that looks like Chris Farley from Wayne's World runs after him. I believe it's in midair when the security guard more just kind of pushes him down. It's sort of, he kind of rejects him, like Mutombo would reject a basketball. Or
No.
And Fred Durst, I don't even know if Fred Durst realized it happened.
Well, what he said here is that he saw it happen. Fred Durst's comment to the crowd, which is, what a pussy. He couldn't even pull it off. And the security then intervened, and they started mashing him into the stage, and the singer then said, calm down. It's just one guy. Right? So they go, which is true. He tried to be easy on him. So does this beef come from nowhere? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. What I'll say is that since then, Limp Bizkit's DJ Lethal has many things to say in a string of virulent Instagram comments.
Okay.
He said that up until now, he was a quote-unquote fan until now, before telling Shaggy, quote-unquote, bro, step up. Uh-oh. Man to man. No sucker stage Russian, quote unquote, I'm going to get on TMZ. He also called him a quote unquote bitch made G, a quote unquote whack bro, who quote unquote just got whack, and quote unquote a bitch ass clout chaser. And he repeatedly asked Shaggy, where you at? Now, apparently, this is a 20-year-old beef. That the lure of this, yes, is that ICP. They were saying, like, they were coming at him, which is this magazine website called Consequence of Sound. All right, so they performed at Woodstock, and they were, like, back in the day, the bad Woodstock. And Fred sent a message.
So Woodstock 99, this is where all of this started.
Yes.
Really?
Fred sent a message, I think via carrier pigeon, to the band and said, hey, Fred wants to hook up with ICP. He wants to hang out with y'all.
Okay.
They met up with they didn't know who Fred Durst was.
Whoa.
Apparently, right? So they showed up. And so, according to them, I guess Fred Durst was a mega superstar and egoed out on them hard. Like, wouldn't look at them or anything while he talked. He invited them on the Family Values Tour with Korn and all those bands. Then, at the last minute, he told them to fuck off.
Whoa.
And booted them off the stage.
Honestly, the Family Values Tour would have been overtaken by ICP. ICP can't be around other bands. The Juggalos alone, they're like, what's the name of that video game where your army just goes and attacks everybody and they eat up everyone? Anyway, I forget the name of it, Civilization or something like that. And that's what the Juggalos would do. They would take over any area that ICP is performing. I don't think you can have them at a festival.
I would only...
They have their own
festival. They have their own festival for a reason.
They have their own world.
Yes.
Because they do a purpose. But I would say is that I would encourage our fans to do the same. Anywhere you're at for any other type of show, let them know that you're there for just Blast Podcasts and start starting to break stuff.
Okay, that's great.
Is that inciting violence?
By the way, if you remember this, ICP had beef with Eminem as well.
Right.
Eminem hated ICP, Eminem hated Fred Durst,
yes.
And then they all hated each other.
Well, of course, ICP, also from the great state of Michigan, specifically Detroit, where Eminem is from, so they didn't like each other for a long time. You know what? We don't talk about the white rap feuds enough. And
we
that's
don't.
What needs to be talked about a little bit more because, you know,
they're a little bit sadder.
They're a little bit sadder.
They're a little bit cuter. They're a little bit dumber. But they're still there.
They're there. They don't like each other. I mean, honestly, those Instagram comments were very mean. Very mean.
Fire. They're filled with fire. Filled with vinegar. That's what I was saying. It's filled with vinegar. You know what it is? Is that they are ICP. Say what you will about them.
I like them.
A lot of energy.
Sure.
That's the main thing I'll say about ICP is that they have a lot of energy.
Yes.
And I think that they are trying to sort of situate themselves with other people because you notice the people that they feud with, even Limp Bizkit, I'm going to say, are better performers than they are.
Ooh, that is going to you're going to get your skull broke for that one.
Do you mean to tell me that the great Malenko will be called upon me like a new form of Pumpkinhead to enact his revenge?
It's very dangerous. You know, I think the one thing ICP has is their performance energy. Of course, yes, some of their music, maybe not the best, but I love their whole story being signed by Disney. And then everyone who signed them at Disney got fired because they never heard the music before. And they just thought they were fun rapping clowns. And then when they heard the music, they're like,
they had evil makeup on.
Yeah. Anyway.
They were called the Insane Clown Posse.
It's kind
of fun. A posse is a group of people that band together to murder other people.
I guess so, yeah. Or go find some gold, or maybe go rescue a young person that's been kidnapped, a young child, perhaps.
I stand with ICP because I lost my virginity to a juggalette.
See,
we don't go into that conversation. We don't have to go into that.
This is the kind of stuff that matters. And you know what? This reminds me back to a way, which is a thing coming up between Natalie and I, and it's the sage words of Blink 182. I guess this is growing up. It's like, that's all it is, man. It's growing up and understanding and owning our stories. So that's not normally a story that we would cover here, but it's just too fucking good.
It's too good.
Shaggy 2 Dope will end up committing a crime that will end up on this show anyway. I imagine.
Well, honestly, what would the crime be? I mean, Huffin or something like that. I think they're pretty not violent people, judging by the attempted assault, because it was one of the most adorable attempted assaults in the history of attempted assaults.
It is not. Yes, it was not. He is not a dangerous man.
If you say
his dropkick is a telltale sign of how dangerous you are, he is not a dangerous person. Are you in with me and Marcus, though?
What?
Me and Marcus kind of have a pool.
Because
what we like to do is we talk about kind of like who's going to be the secret seeding of a true crime story later on. Like what's going to be a super tragic story or something fucked up's going to happen with this person. And our number one guy that we think is going to do something fucked up is Michael Phelps. We both think that Michael Phelps will end up being a part of a very sensational true crime story in the next like 10, 15 years.
What the hell would that be? Michael Phelps, the American hero. See, this is what the underlying conversation is about: anti-patriotism. It's about anti-Americanism. You just see someone wearing the gold who has given our country so many W's that you're
we've literally never been a good country.
Mr. Cuomo. Good Lord Almighty.
You know what it is with Michael Phelps is that because of that, it's the people like seeing the true arc of somebody like grow and
he already had his peak. His peak controversy was smoking the bong.
But that's what I'm saying. This is back in the day. We all thought it was this harmless thing. But because he was an American hero, and it's like he is ripe for a fall. You look at Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods is such a perfect example of it. They're ripe for a fall. And the problem is that somewhere along the line, we either consciously or subconsciously will allow these arcs to happen to us or complete it ourselves. I do believe that somebody like Michael Phelps has been put into a place where he's so bored. Once he's in his 40s, what's he going to be doing?
Swimming!
The thing about swimming anymore.
The thing about the sport of swimming is you just do it your entire life because you're in water. He loves to swim. He's like a little fish.
He hates to swim.
He's like a shark. If he stops swimming, he stops breathing. He needs it. And also, when it comes to Tiger Woods, he had an affair. It wasn't a true crime story. We wouldn't have covered that.
I will put it this way, though. If he could have, He would have killed his wife.
I don't think you can even spread those kinds of lies.
I can say whatever I want.
Tiger is on a comeback, by the way, and I'm rooting
But it took a long time.
It did take a long time.
Because he couldn't squirt anymore.
No, it wasn't.
When he couldn't get the squirt out, the squirt was in between him and his dolphin.
It was not. What? No. It's because.
Yes.
It is because his image was so squeaky clean.
Yes.
Which is always a mistake. Never make your image squeaky clean, because one is squeaky clean. We're all human beings. And that's why he had such a big fall, because they're like, I can't believe it. And it's like, he's just a person. He made a couple mistakes, but it was,
There is something to be said about starting your image wholesome and then going dark, and then starting dark and going wholesome, because Korn just released their own line of coffee.
See, this is the kind of about positioning yourself. When you are entering a life of the public eye, you understand you're going to be embodying a persona. You're going to be embodying a thing. And so with Tiger Woods, he made himself super squeaky clean.
Well, Nike
he was begging
did.
For the fucking balloon to be popped. I know what you're saying is actually correct, Kissel. And the idea is that we are all people. We are naturally flawed. And yes, sometimes I'm going to be deflecting a dropkick from Shaggy 2 Dope.
Sure.
But also sometimes I'm going to be showing you just how delicious this carefully selected batch of Ethiopian roasted beans are from the delicate hands of Fred Durst. And, you know, like you're allowed to do that because we all now know that Fred Durst is a complicated rainbow of a person.
I know that. And of course, the coffee industry is a little bit corrupt as well. A lot of mirrodeers happen within
the
battle of the beans.
People are very caffeinated.
They are. But another good example of that, he's so nasty and gross, Howard Stern, who is now on, America's Got Talent?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that is just wholesome enough for middle America.
Or again, the opposite, Jimmy Savile, going like starting extremely light and then
swinging. Let's not even talk about that, man.
Molesting the children wasn't a career move. It was his hobby.
It was his whole life. Anyway, all right, I got a story here. Good gracious.
I just say it's important to remember to be careful who you pretend to be, all right? Because we are who we pretend to be.
I just want a show one day in the future where I just want to, I don't even know what, but I want it to be 100%. I don't even know. You can't be too wholesome. Food related.
You just
want
a show where it's you sipping Bud Light with a Pomeranian on your knee and telling and reading the weather. And I think
honestly,
that's actually a story you should.
Interesting.
Position yourself
right
so that is the thing. So now you know what you have to do tomorrow is rent a car, and you need to leave it in the middle of the Washington Bridge. Like, you need to have one of those epic style meltdowns, and then you flip it with the healing path of Benjamin Kissel, and it's you with, like, you know, hair dyed blonde. You're in a spa.
I would love that. And of course, the weather's very interesting. We're going to be underwater in 2050. All right. Drunk birds. This is a story. Drunk birds. That's true.
This is what you want to cover.
Yes.
It's just.
This is what I want to cover. All right. So this is a story. It comes out of the wonderful state of Minnesota. Hello. I can't say it. Go Pack Go. I was going to say Go Vikings, but I can't even do it.
Can't go that far.
No, can't do it. So this story, the headline is drunk birds are causing havoc in a Minnesota town, but please say they'll sober up soon. It's a police in Gilbert, Minnesota are warning residents about a youthful group of residents unable to handle their alcohol. They're not teenagers. Nope. They're a local bird population. This is according to Police Chief Ty Tetcher. He says the Gilbert Police Department has received several reports of birds that appear to be under the influence, flying into windows, cars, and acting confused. In early frost meant that the berries... So why is this happening? In early frost meant that the berries had fermented earlier than usual, he explained.
Hell yeah.
And the birds were eating them and getting drunk. So basically, they're getting slammed off of Pruno.
Well,
they're just getting hammered.
Yeah, it's sangria.
Right. So
it's a great story.
It is a great story.
My question is that what else do the birds do besides just flopping around?
That's the good question, Henry. Incidents around town involving intoxicated birds appear to be more prevalent than in past years, which I didn't realize they were prevalent at all. I guess the birds in Gilbert, Minnesota, they've always been very dangerous, apparently, because many have not migrated south. So because it's warm in Minnesota, and I was just there a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't that warm, but I guess it's warmer than usual. It's warm for them. So it's like 35 degrees. So they're just chilling out there being like, oh, what are we already in Florida? It's like, no, you're not in Florida. you got to get out of Minnesota. So this is according, again, to what's happening. This is according to Tecker. It appears that some birds are getting a little bit more tipsy than normal, which, again, I did not realize they got drunk at all. He wrote, generally, younger birds' livers can't handle the toxins as efficiently as more mature birds. He concluded, there is no need to call law enforcement about these birds, as they should sober up within a short period of time. Can you
imagine?
Are they
really calling the cops on the birds?
I guess so. Which is like, why are you calling the police? What is that? What is that 911 call? What are you?
There is a sparrow outside making what I can only assume are inebriated bird noises. Is it gonna rape my father? My father's an old man.
I saw a video today that was a bunch of people on a boat. And then a big whale came near the boat and scared them to the point where the woman on board called the police to say that the whale was too close to the boat.
You know what? Oh, my God. People need to stop calling the police basically for anything unless you walk into your home and you find your mother dead. And then you say, okay, I got to call the police here so they can come and figure out what the heck happened. Other than that, never call the police. I don't understand this obsession of calling 911. What are they going to do?
I try to never call 911 unless I'm lonely. Well, but when you're just out there, what's the cop going to do to the whale? Is he going to jump on the whale?
He's going
to shoot it. He's going to shoot it.
He's just going to shoot it. And then the cop will be like, another job well done. I mean, what the hell do you want him to do?
Ain't no stress about shooting the whale. It ain't man. So I don't go to jail no more.
Barely go to jail if he does it to a man, too. So according to some residents on Facebook, they say, this is according to one little Facebook comment. He says, this explains why I have hit 7 birds with my car this week.
What are you doing?
I don't know. 7 birds in a week.
Jesus
I would
Christ.
Honestly just feel like, am I the devil? Am I being hunted? Am I in Suspiria? Like, what's going on here? Is this a Hitchcock film?
Day you're on your way to work, you're like, oh, and then you have to scrape sparrows off your grill, like all their spattered guts all over the fucking your but lights and shit, all hard and stuff. You're like, haven't explained to your daughter what death is in terms of groups of birds being massacred by your car.
So this apparently, this Facebook thread really went on for quite a while. One person wrote, I was going to say something, but I thought I was crazy. This has been happening to me. Seriously, 2 birds dove into my windshield, both on the way to work and on the way home. I was wondering what was going on. That is, honestly, it is truly horrifying. You're just driving your car. You got birds attacking
poop,
your windshield.
Poop, 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 poop.
4 in 1 day and 7 in 1 week. That's a hell of a lot of birds to be hitting your car.
You know what? Upon reframing it, it is true. Because you know what it does sound like? It sounds like the birds.
Yes.
Or it sounds like the movie The Fucking The Crazies or some shit.
Yes.
It sounds like everybody is in a very, everything's going insane, which has got to be very, very scary for everyone.
The police statement ended with a suggestion that the residents of the small northern Minnesota town call. So they are requesting they call if they see, quote, angry birds laughing and giggling uncontrollably.
Okay. So now
and
they're
appearing
roasting
to be happy.
Everybody.
I think so, yeah. Or Tweety acting as if 10 feet tall and getting into confrontations with cats. So, yes, I think the cops, and this is a pet peeve of mine, when cops put on their comedy cap and they start using humor, because, again, they are an extension. They're basically militarized at this point, and they can just shoot your entire family.
They
so,
really just
I don't,
can't.
Not
with
very
no,
funny.
With no, no punishment at all.
No, that's why I feel like if you see a comedian on stage with like an AR-15, it's going to hurt the jokes. It's just going to hurt the jokes.
I don't like funny cops.
No.
I don't like funny dentists.
No.
And I don't like,
I'm going to say, I could go with the funny dentist. Dr. Giggles gave the dentist a bad rap when it comes to their when it comes to their humor. But sometimes you're sitting there. And a dentist can really hit you with a funny one. And,
no,
and that's,
they're
that's
never
kind
funny.
Of fun.
They're literally never funny.
If a dentist wants to be, like, interesting, they should, like, ride a longboard to work. They shouldn't make jokes.
Cool dentist.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, or if you're renting a scooter, to go be a dentist. That one of these disposable scooters, you should not be working on human bodies. You should not be a fucking doctor.
Honestly, what I want in my police officers, the personality I want is the main protagonist in Westworld, the robot cowboy. But I want him before he changes. I want a yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I want a collegial, nice cop who is always just out there looking for the good of the people, looking out for the good of the people.
We have a lot of cops who listen to the show. It's not that I don't think cops can be funny. It's hard when it's not on a person-to-person basis. It's when the top brass is making posts that are jokes.
Right.
When it's being like, what happens if your fucking daughter gets killed by a drunk bird? What are you going to do then, cops?
Yeah, what are you going to do then? Okay, but of course, yeah, you want to go to a cop bar, get hammered with some cops, you'll hear some funny stories.
Well, have you guys seen The Staircase on Netflix?
No, I haven't watched that one yet.
Okay, well, bird related. Anyway.
Is it really?
I can't say too much because people will get pissed off.
There is a bird Netflix section.
Okay. The one thing with Netflix and The Staircase, I'm looking at it, what is it, 12 episodes? I just feel like I'm staring down at like a marathon, and I don't know why Netflix is just like, let's make it 55 hours long. Like, nothing has to be that long. Get to it.
A very shocking reveal. Okay.
Yes, that's what elongates it. It's a very shocking reveal, but it's a lot of fucking content.
Right.
It does get to a point where you're just like, what am I watching? And whole episodes are just court footage. And between doing West Memphis 3, it was between West Memphis 3 and doing Casey Anthony, watching all that court footage makes me want to pluck my fucking eyeballs out.
Right.
I don't know how lawyers do it. I don't know how lawyers do it. I don't know how jurors do it. It's like, I don't know what I did. It's too much. It's very droning.
The jurors do it because if they mess up, they go to jail for contempt of court.
Wait till you even try to get me on a jury. I'm going to have some controversial views. So what we have here is this next story, I think, is very, we're back to what we normally cover. 90-year-old San Jose man denies killing his stepdaughter, but police say her Fitbit tells another story.
This is a really interesting story. Again, 90-year-old, you don't really hear, is this the oldest person that we've ever discussed when it comes to a random murder? I guess not so random, it is his stepdaughter. But my God, that's crazy.
Yep. So apparently on it would seem to be, where does the date? He visited his stepdaughter. He's 9 years old. He visited his 67-year-old stepdaughter on September 8th when he made a roughly 15-minute visit around 3 p.m.
Okay.
And he said that he was dropping off fresh-made biscotti and pizza, which is nice. So he made some nice biscotti, which is actually really difficult to make. That's a double bake.
It is really difficult to make and super good, but what I'm going to say to this, Henry, too good to be true. Too good to be true. You're telling me this guy is such a saint. He's like, I am such a good man. I got pizza, which is incredible, and then fresh biscotti.
I'll tell you what, it does mean a type of person if you go all the way to make fresh-made biscotti and then you stab your stepdaughter to death.
Oof.
Because when police arrived, sometime in that 15-minute window, they found her body. She had been stabbed in the neck and stabbed all over her head multiple times and had the knife still in. She had a knife in her place in her hand, and pizza was everywhere.
What?
Which is also, I'm afraid, the way you will be found, Kissel.
It'll be similar to the autopsy photos of Chris Farley, but instead of a huge heroin bubble coming out of my mouth, it will just be a little piece of pepperoni.
Mozzarella.
That'd be good.
I did think that you were going to say he stabbed her with the stiff biscotti.
It's a fresh biscotti. It's fresh.
It's too stiff. You want it to have give. You want it to have a little bit of give,
yes.
But it's also nice. Ooh, when you dip it in a nice coffee, you get a nice little cappuccino.
Don't
and you just like slip it in there, and you get a little soft, and snap it off there. Nice almond biscotti. I love
See,
it so much.
This is what I want to do. Kathy Corner. I just want to talk about, Anyway, but what happened was,
it wasn't this woman getting stabbed to death.
It wasn't exactly right away. The cops, they didn't find her body for a couple of days. Her neighbors are like, where is she? And so the cops go in there, and they're like, what the heck happened here? Something went horribly wrong, obviously. They check out her Fitbit, and this is what's so fascinating about these devices we're all wearing. They monitor everything that's going on inside of our bodies.
See, and the way they're positioning the story is they're like, thanks to Fitbit, that this man was caught using surveillance cameras to locate his car to drive. When they tracked him, he arrived at the Navarre's Parkway at 3:12 and left at 3:33 p.m. They saw it all on cameras. As that, then according to her Fitbit, the heart rate rapidly increased at 3:20 and then completely abated at 3:28.
Can we say? Can we just at least say what the maybe the original reason for the spike was? A bite of fresh biscotti?
Oh, was, I mean, when maybe you see that pizza, that fresh made pizza, open up. My heart goes a pitter patter. And what if she just dropped dead of a heart attack?
Yeah.
And he's just like, I can't let anybody know that my fresh biscotti is killing everybody. It's going to ruin my biscotti business. And so then he stabs her dead body multiple times and frames it as a frantic suicide. But what I don't like about the positioning of this story is it's the same thing as the story when they said that they used the Alexa as evidence in court.
Well,
it's the praising of Fitbit and the Alexa.
Right.
It's the way they frame the story as, you see, the constant monitoring of people, that's what allows us to not commit crimes or catch the bad guys. And
right.
so it keeps us kind of constant state of, as long as I'm not guilty of everything, as long as I'm not guilty of anything, what does it matter that I'm constantly surveilled 24/7?
Yep.
Which is a thing that's happening in China right now with the social credit system, which is the more and more I read into, the more and more, like, they're getting all of these social rewards and social punishments for doing things that are against the state or against other people, or down to, like, littering, down to smoking and non-smoking areas, but then they're not allowed to fly. They're not allowed to get into certain universities. They're not allowed to get certain jobs. But they don't know how they're monitoring it, which means it's a combo of the phone, CCTV, devices in your own home that are turning itself into a gigantic Big Brother, where in China it is becoming 1984, and in the United States it's becoming the Brave New World, where we are just policing ourselves using the gadgets that we're purchasing in order to make our lives, quote unquote, easier, which they do.
Kind of.
But also,
I mean, honestly, you know, does the Fitbit really make your life easier?
It doesn't.
Who cares? Yeah, I agree. And we should do a deeper dive on that. There's a great article. What's it called? No Dark Places?
No Shadowy Crevices, which is actually also a part of my nude shoot. That's actually what I would have called my first nude shoot for Playgirl Magazine.
All right. Yes, that story on China. We'll do a deeper dive maybe in the next episode on that, because it is really – it's a horrifying situation. And it's interesting how people are just volunteering to give up all of their freedoms because it's a Fitbit or because it's a smartwatch. And again, there's a great book, Three Felonies a Day. You don't even know how many crimes you're committing. The crime statutes are so broad and so vague, they can get you for anything, including resisting arrest, which is literally just them arresting you for nothing, and then you try to resist, and now you're arrested for a resisting arrest. They just create a problem. They create a crime. Anyway, that's a whole
other thing. I just hold my knees.
That's very good. Okay.
I hold my knees. And so what they're saying is, to come back to the case, they found bloody clothes at his home.
Okay.
His last name, what I do like is that his name is Anthony Aiello.
Right.
I wonder if he's distantly related to Danny Aiello.
I don't know. I met Danny Aiello one time. He called me Hollywood. He was very, very nice. He had a comedy club in Hoboken, New Jersey.
That's right. That's
yes.
right. He did.
Yes,
he did. Well, so apparently they found... they found bloody clothes at the Aiello home.
Okay.
He's 90. And they said he's told that the deposit of blood on his clothes were not localized in one area and were consistent with a splatter. Aiello indicated that he might have cut his hand and shaken it while he was wearing one of those shirts, because he says he, quote unquote, cuts himself all the time.
So is he going through a goth phase at 90? What's happening exactly? Also, dude, that's a great way. Even if you didn't commit this murder, you're going to the home. You can't cut yourself all the time. You obviously shouldn't be living alone if you are.
Well, all I know is that he either got confused and he murdered his stepdaughter, or there was, I don't want to, like, God knows what the hell. I mean, technically, he is innocent until proven guilty.
Sure.
So I have no clue what he's done. It just seemed to be there's a lot of evidence pointing his way towards him murdering his daughter. He contends that there was somebody else in the house.
Okay. I mean, honestly, that was what struck me in the story. 90 years old. Again, I haven't really heard of a 90-year-old being able to pull off a really graphic, brutal stabbing like that. But I guess you never know what people are capable of.
Fairy tales could come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart.
I had a dream with you singing in it last night. Isn't that weird? All right.
Weird.
So, yeah. All right. We got one more story. Now, this is in the Henry Zebrowski world of ufology. It's ufology, I believe.
Yes, it is.
So we'll get a lot of insight here. I know Henry has a lot to say about this. Basically, a UFO was spotted over Myrtle Beach, and onlookers were disturbed, but I'm also sure a lot of onlookers, if I know Myrtle Beach the way I know Myrtle Beach, were pretty hammered and absolutely loved it.
Yes, it does seem to be the videos of this UFO. It's a lot of people going, woo, they up there, y'all. Woo, woo, woo. And it's pretty wonderful footage because yes. The lightning is going. It's very right? spooky dooky. Spuddle over Myrtle Beach on this. So the video was taken on August 5th, but it was only uploaded on October 4th.
Yeah, I know.
Why later.
Why do you sit on it for so long? I just feel like it must be an older...
They submitted to the video to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and a part of the reason why people don't report is because they're not taken seriously.
Okay, so the mysterious lights, they were spotted over Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. This, again, was in August. Now, it raises questions about where the lights came from and what the hell were they doing up there.
They're pretty spooky dooky, man.
They are, so if you get a chance, again, go in there and check it out on YouTube. It's UFO sighting filmed in Myrtle Beach. So now, how would you describe what people are going to be looking at if they haven't seen it yet? What kind of UFO is this?
Orbs.
This is an orb.
These are orbs. They look at they're floating in the sky. They don't look like shit. I tell you what, I don't know what the hell it is. I mean, like, again, I haven't done my shadow hours yet because technically they could be. What they always say is that it's ball lightning. Okay. And when I look at them, they don't look like ball lightning. They look like what they would maybe be reflective things in the sky, which maybe could be swept up by the storm. But normally. Normally, when you see things reflecting in the sky, it has sort of like a blink, blink. Like you could see the light catch it, like when you swift it. But you're watching as five objects in the sky sort of hover like they're on strings.
Right.
Like the original, when Kenneth Arnold first saw a UFO, and where the term flying saucer came from, is the sort of wobbly aspect, the way sort of hover in the sky like they're hanging.
Yeah, like bad Ed Wood props from an Ed Wood film.
Yes, but they are weird incandescent lights that are floating between the storm clouds, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to give it a dope with a capital D, and I'm loving it.
Whoa, and I'm loving it and a dope with a capital D. That's kind of fun. Dare I say the person, now this is funny, this person was anonymous. They do not want to be known. As Henry said, they probably just don't want to deal with being called a whack job or something. But this is according to what the person wrote on a website. He said, taking pictures and time-lapse of incoming storm. They were taking pictures and time-lapse of the incoming storm. I was taking the pictures off the edge of a long pier after dark, so there were no reflective surfaces around. I did not notice the objects until I returned home and checked the photograph and video. So that's pretty fun if you check it out. And then you're like, that's like when you see a haunting image in the back, or a ghost. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's the kind of shit I like. When you look at it, you're like, what the fuck is that shit? Except I still haven't seen anything. But I think there's a lot of complaints that a lot of UFO sightings are going down. And you know what I'm going to attribute that to?
What?
People not looking up from their phones.
Really?
You need to look at the sky. Because everyone wants to say, like, yeah, maybe that makes me an old fucking crank. Maybe I sound like an old man shifting around, wishing things were the ways they were, which a bunch of little boys in the street selling papes and hitting a circle with a stick. And that was what was fun then.
The time of the newsie. I don't think you were alive during that time.
I saw the newsies.
Polio and stuff like that. Although polio's back on the rise because no one's vaccinated anymore. But
back when Santa Fe was a place people wanted to go.
Ah.
You know, and nowadays, No, everyone's glued to the bit boops, sitting right there doing the click of the clocks, getting their likes and their hearts and whatnot.
Right.
When it should be looking up to the sky, scanning the sky, seeing the stories that were told by the heavens to the Native Americans.
You do, and I love that. I love Native American lore, and they are right about spirituality, and we need to get back to the earth. Okay.
I love corn. I love tents.
I love the idea of praising the animals, and I love the idea of praising the spirits and things like that. I like the Native American lore quite a bit.
You know what's nice? A yurt.
Yep. Don't know
if
what it
you
is.
Got a good one.
Oh, yes. Is that a tent?
It's a big tent.
Cool. I do like those. I will say, yes, I don't know what's going on. Stop looking down. But I will also say, don't just look up. Look straight, too. I can't even tell you how many people they just run into me. And I'm like the softest wall, so they're like, yes, thank you.
They're like, they're in an insane asylum.
Right. So just kind of look every now and again.
Has Brooke ever told you that your body is like the wall of an insane asylum?
No, but I think that's it's mildly offensive. It's something I could work on, but it's also cozy. So
we're all soft.
Yeah, I like being soft.
Yeah, you got to be soft. Yeah, we're going to be all rigid.
No, I don't care. I don't. Or Shannon Tatum's got a little head anyway. I don't want that kind of body. The amount of work.
Channing Tatum lives in a world of misery. Okay, we're going to just say this right now. If you look at the Mark Wahlberg schedule, they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to work out. Yeah. All right, and yeah, they look good, and yeah, they have millions of dollars, and yeah, they're super famous, and yeah, they stick their wick into every gaping piece and everywhere, every town they drift into.
Well, are they happy?
No.
I don't know if they're happy. It wouldn't make me very happy, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I like a book. I like a good book.
Just a good documentary. You know, just give me a good doc. I'll do a
The Dispossessed by Ursula K. Le Guin. And people have already said that I was simplifying the last time I was talking about it, and it's true. I do barely understand it. But I will say, a true anarchic society takes intense responsibility.
Okay, yes, and of course it's not actually a plausible thing because someone will want power.
You got to be ever vigilant. That's what the whole point of the society is that constant vigilance is very difficult to maintain that type of equality.
Well, it just seems like there's other things to do in the world.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things to do in the world. We would not be technically be able to work in that world of anarchism because we work upon the largesse of others. Actually, opposite. We are truly just jesters. We're troubadours that only live upon the favor of our fans. I want to say thank you for the fact that you're even here listening to us.
Yes, we love you very much. All right. So, yes. So that video, check out that video. UFO sighting filmed in Myrtle Beach. Compelling stuff. And yeah, keep on looking up to the skies. You know, we have some people, sometimes people will come up to us and they might say something a little bit creepy about, oh, I want to get on your show. If you want to make it on the show, find a UFO. Just remember that. It kind of rhymes. If you want to make it on the show, find a UFO.
Find a UFO.
You send that in, we will talk about that. We will show that. We will blast it on our live stream, which can we announce is coming back soon?
Yes, live stream is coming back the week of Halloween. We're coming back the Tuesday before Halloween.
So if you have any UFO footage, shoot it our way. We'll play it on the Adult Swim live stream for you. That'll be Tuesdays at 8 p.m. I cannot wait to start that show again. We've missed talking to you so much. Cannot wait. We'll show.
And also, we will be recording for our Creepypasta episodes. Remember, email, we're going to be doing this on October 23rd. Okay. We're going to be recording. So we need these things as soon as you can get them, and we need them short. We need them like we're looking between a minute to 3 minutes read.
Yeah.
And to send all of your creepiest shit to Side Stories, LPOTL. Again, that's Side Stories, LPOTL at gmail.com.
Yes, we cannot wait to read your stories. Awesome. Well, those were kind of some fun stories of the news. Those are kind of some fun true crime stories in the news this week. And we hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Anything else we want to plug here? I don't know. I think we're pretty good. Keep on supporting all the shows
I'm pretty good. I tell you what, there hasn't been more slime. That's good. Has stopped, but I joined the neighborhood app of Nextdoor. I changed it because you can join. It's
you
like a neighborhood.
You just talked
community.
About not wanting to be part of the 1984 problem.
I only Nextdoor joined it because literally... I wanted to see if other people was looking into the slime. Two posts about slime.
But now you are part I'm just going
to
say.
I deleted immediately. I just wanted to know I was correct.
Okay. All right, be careful. People ratting out their neighbors. Loud music over here. Is that a satanic cult over there? What's happening?
You mess with the bull, you get the horns. You come over here, you want to stop me watching movies about women screaming all night long? Well, you're going to have to find out what actually is happening.
Well, when
in that
the
apartment.
Police bust down your door and pop you in the head, and they'll have to kill Wendy, too, because
no,
Wendy
no,
will
no.
attack
what
them.
What I do is I immediately shift into entertaining. And once they come in the door, then it's been like, oh, Mr. Officers, I can't believe. It's just like, got to catch that train. I do all of the Music Maker.
The Music Man? You're going to do that. You're just going to sing some Music Man songs.
I do the Music Man.
Maybe talk about Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope that works. I hope that works.
I don't know. All right,
everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Enjoy all the shows here on the Last Podcast Network. Thanks for all the support for Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, the political show that I do with Marcus Pox and occasionally Travis as well.
Yes.
You guys have been really wonderful there. So hail yourselves.
Hail Satan. Yeah. Live. Love and line. I'm trying to get back into my Australian accent.
No, I honestly.
Live. Line. And live.
Out of all of the accents that you've done, and you know I always love your work.
Life.
I think you're very talented. The Australian
life.
Accent does seem to be the most controversial in the sense that people don't believe it sounds Australian.
Effective. I was like, there's a couple of words I try to use to get back into it. It's like, effective. In line. Like. Foul. Foul. I don't know, man.
I think when
I'm
we
not
go
from Australia.
If we ever, well, we know that. If we go there next year, which would be a awesome thing. I think by the end of the trip, you'll have it down pat. You'll know it.
It's just like, I can do any time a ski for ye today. Ah, fuck. I had it for a while. I had it the other day.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail me. See you soon. Triple L, everybody.
Triple L. Magustalations.
You dirty whores.
Oh, my goodness. Leave everyone alone.